Well, thank you very much. It's great to see so much talent in this room. A lot of new faces as well. It's a real privilege to be here. And good to see down the back there some friends of mine from Australia as well. So, g'day. Okay, well, today I have a topic, which hopefully will come up on the screen here in a moment, which is one I would rather not present on. So, I consider myself to be a reluctant dissident. I hope that you can be reluctant dissidents at the end of this and understand that we are living in a fascist world. But it's a fascist world that pop culture is okay with. They think it's great. Now, normally fascism is a pejorative term that people use when they want to insult somebody or just to completely dismiss them and write them off. I want to make it very clear what this discussion is not about. So it's not about politics. It's not about, you know, obviously salvation doesn't come from the Democrats, and it definitely does not come from the Republicans. So it's not about left or right. It's not about straight or gay. If you think it is, because this topic will come up some of the times during the discussion, it's not about that. It's not about men versus women, or nationalism versus race or racism, or progressive versus conservative. What it is about, it's about your allegiance, your moral conscience, and your ability as to practice your Christian religious freedoms, to live with moral integrity to the life that you're called to have freedom from persecution, true separation from church and state, sanctitude of the family unit, and freedom from being compelled to ratify and agree with perversity. Well, let's get down to some definitions first. We're talking about the same thing. What is a dissident? You know, basically, it's somebody that disagrees in the simplest form. But I've got four definitions here. We've got it from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, Cambridge Dictionary, Wikipedia, and Oxford Dictionary. So I think we've got it pretty well covered. But the whole point is, it's a difference of opinion, sentiment. It's the opposite of consent. So if somebody's asking you to do something, or they're making you do something you don't want to do, and you disagree with that, that's dissent. Well, the ultimate dissident, Jesus Christ. And we're not just talking about here on earth. I mean, this was a situation where there was a kingdom that was established on this earth, the Prince of Darkness. And Jesus came down from heaven as a dissident, not just to overturn this kingdom, but to overturn the orthodoxies, the prejudices that were in place at the time. And this country, the United States of America, was founded by dissidents. Dissidency is at the very heart and core of this country's spirit. And essentially, it was based on Christian principles as well, which was freedom of conscience, freedom to flee from persecution and from tyrannical governments, freedom to practice their faith in peace, and ultimately this country was founded on the principle that all men and women were created equal, which ultimately led to the abolition of slavery. Let's talk about fascism, so we know what we're actually talking about. And who better to get the definition of fascism from than the founders of fascism, which was Benito Mussolini and Filippo Marinetti. And this symbol that you see here is the fascist symbol, which is a bundle of sticks that are bound together. And the idea is that each stick by themselves is easy to break, but when you put them into a bundle together and you tie them tightly with the cord, they become like a log. They become strong. Now, that cord is made of the principles of education and indoctrination. It's also the media, and it's also force. And you see the axe, which is tied to the side of the bundle, that represents corporal and capital punishment for those that are dissidents. So the doctrine of fascism from Benito Mussolini is essentially fascism is totalitarian. The fascist state is a synthesis and unit inclusive of all values. It interprets, develops, and potentiates the life of a people. That's interesting. If you read behind those words, develops and interprets, what it's really saying is it's telling them what to think and how we want them to think. So fascism is a religious conception which man is seen in his imminent relationship with a superior, call it a moral law, and with an objective will that transcends the particular individual. This is much bigger than one person, right? If anyone gets in the way, then we'll take care of them. So, and this is about creating a so-called spiritual society. So fascism, besides being a system of government, is, and above all, a system of thought. So you've seen it. The violent protests don't like what you have to say at a university. So what are you going to do? You're going to create hell. You're going to create violence. You're going to step in. Call yourself Antifa, whatever it happens to be. Let's decode, unpack, and look at what's going on here. So, looking at the traits of fascism, it is suppression and silencing of opposing views. And this is an academic which studied fascism throughout World War II and essentially did his doctorate on it. So, violence as a valid political instrument. The sacralization of politics through totalitarian methods. It's a new political style, and by myths, rites, and symbols as a lay religion designed to acculturate, socialize, and integrate the faith of the masses with the goal of creating a new man. Now, these days, they're not kidding when they're talking about creating a new man. It's a police apparatus that prevents, controls, and represses dissidents and opposition, including through the use of organized terror. Well, what is terror? That's essentially intimidation that something very bad is going to happen to you if you don't do exactly what they want. So disagreement is considered treason. If you disagree with what they're positing and putting forth, it is almost a capital offence. Everybody is educated to become a hero. If you see somebody conducting a political correctness infraction, you are immediately to call them to the task. You are to destroy them if possible. And essentially, championing the causes of modernism, action, and political violence. Again, you're seeing it so often on the streets here. Promoting the establishment of a totalitarian state. Now, if you haven't guessed this, this is bigger than left and right, okay? So this is, again, it's not about politics, it's about the behavior that you're seeing. It's social indoctrination through propaganda in education, your schools with taxpayer money, and the media, and regulation of the production of educational and media materials. You can obviously see all my sources that I'm referencing here too in terms of the characteristics of fascism. So you're seeing the media being controlled. You're seeing the social media being controlled. You're seeing education being controlled with a very specific anti-Christian agenda which is being crammed down your necks with both arms.
I am a social justice. This is my keyboard. See it? When I'm behind it, I'm invincible. I can say anything without consequence. It helps me dish out social justice. Serving size large. Finally, I hit you with my trump card where I trivialize your entire being into a one-word label, like telling you you're a racist, you're a sexist, you're a misogynist, you're homophobic, you're heterophobic, you're transphobic, you're humanphobic. I'm like a doctor handing out complex diagnoses. When I decide to label someone with one word, I don't have to use my brain to understand them because I have a preformed understanding of the one word that I use to label them. So I can just understand the word that I decided to call them instead of understanding them.
Okay, trigger warning. Anybody going to get offended here? The door's just there. You know, essentially we're talking about Christian principle, biblical principles, and the intolerance in society towards them. So essentially the triggers are, if you start talking about sin, as the Bible understands and talks about sin, expect to hit some big triggers. If you stand against the murder of children, also known as abortion, expect to get deplatformed off social media. Expect to get fired. Expect to be ostracized and punished. If you don't fully and completely adulate, bow down before, and totally agree with transgender and LGBTQ or whatever the alphabets are, agendas, expect extreme and total punishment. If you stand for traditional family and marriage, expect a lot of problems. If you're against recreational drug use. And the measure of hate speech is essentially offendedness. So if somebody is offended, then you've conducted hate speech against them. But you have to understand that that is contingent upon which group you happen to be representing. So intolerance is defined essentially as Christian moral values, if you speak them and you stand for them clearly, as considered hate speech. Hate speech is intolerance. And of course, we all know that intolerant people are intolerable. So violence, legal action, punitive lawsuits, criminal prosecution, boycotts, financial attacks, blacklists, firings, professional persecution, and death threats. Hey, this is seen as you had it coming because you are a horrible person for conducting hate speech. These are now seen as justifiable and appropriate actions in our society of today. So I tried to tabulate a bit of a table here of what, you know, how many points of hate speech or offendedness is worth for each group. So when was the last time, as a Christian, you were able to put up your hand and say, I was offended, I really think this person should be fired and taken through the ringer? It's just not going to happen. When was the last time that you were compelled, you said Merry Christmas to somebody, and they didn't say Merry Christmas back, so you filed a lawsuit against them with the ACLU? Okay, when it comes down to Christians being under attack or portrayed anything but negatively in the media, how often do you see that? The media coming to their defense. But the monopoly really is with the LGBTQ or with the atheist movement. As far as the power index, if you have religious symbols in public spaces, atheists can demand that they be removed because they find them offensive. If it comes down to, let's call it whatever the phobia is, homophobia, Muslimophobia, when was the last time you heard the term Christianophobia? So the worldview essentially is that there is no God. And so you're not entitled to your views because your views are irrelevant. But according to the Bible, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So Paul says that his grace teaches us to say no to godless ways and sinful desires. We must control ourselves. What a concept! You know, this is what the gospel is about. It's about delivery from slavery to the carnal nature. Your carnal nature is not your destiny. There is a way to be able to live a life where you can live a godly life in today's world. And David says, foolish people say in their hearts, there is no God, but they do all kinds of horrible and evil things. You've seen this. There should be no freedom for hate speech. Well, I guess that just depends on how you define hate speech, right? But what they really mean is, yeah, you can have freedom of speech, but you're not free from the consequences of your speech if you offend somebody. Well, here's a bit of an example of how Christianity is now viewed in the tech world.
Anyway, let's introduce you to the group. We've got a great analytics tool by a former Google guru. Wish I'd have thought of that one.
Cool.
And music streaming with an AI taste predictor that is off the charts.
Good space.
Yes, and this handsome devil over here is creating a very promising gay dating site.
That's cool.
Yeah, but don't worry, he's not...
Oops, I'm sorry.
Anyway, let's introduce you to the group. We've got a great analytics tool by a former Google guru. Wish I'd have thought of that one.
Cool.
And music streaming with an AI taste predictor that is off the charts.
Good space.
Yes, and this handsome devil over here is creating a very promising gay dating site.
That's cool.
Yeah, but don't worry, he's not snobby about it. He's actually pretty boring. I don't mean that as an insult. Those are his words, long-term relationship, doesn't smoke, doesn't drink, and him and his man go to church every Sunday. So, loves Bible studies, right? Just a straight up, boring, ordinary guy, but obviously not straight. Very gay. And also a Christian.
So I just got off the phone with Colin over at K-Hole, and while he loves your tech, he's considering blowing up the deal.
What? Just because one of my CEOs is Christian?
It freaks people out in the Valley.
Okay, so what do you want me to do, Monica? You want me to drop DD just because he's Christian? The company's not Christian. It's gay. Which is fine, right?
Yeah, no, that plays great.
Anyway, it was a mistake. I'm sorry I added you. I just wish we could go back to normal, you know, just like how things work. A CEO and a gay CEO.
I don't even know what normal is anymore, Richard. It's been such a crazy 24 hours, you know. Gossip travels so fast in the Valley. I'll be lucky if my parents ever talk to me again.
Your parents aren't Christian.
I'm from Palo Alto.
And my dad says my lifestyle makes him sick. He just wants his gay son back.
And he's okay with the gay part.
He's gay. Oh. Check it out. You like it?
It's good. I guess maybe it's just a little busy. Like, there's one word too many.
One word?
Well, I like the gay part. If anything, it could be more gay. I mean, you should gay it up. And then I like the proud part. It's just the
Christian part.
So it is satire, but it's pithy because it's not that far from the truth, is it? So let's look at the moral police state. This is what's happening in this country and other modern Western countries as well. Legislating perversity and criminalizing Christian morality and decency. Now, when I say criminalizing, I'm not using that as a euphemistic term. I'm using that in the legal term. So Washington Post is not exactly known for its conservative views. However, the state of New York has passed a law that if you do not use the required pronouns that someone demands that you use, their offendedness is worth at least $125,000. But if it was proven to be willful, if you did it on purpose, that's $250,000. Now, most people in their entire lifetime do not save $250,000. So we're talking about wiping out somebody's entire life for one offense. The state of California just passed a law that if you don't use the correct pronoun and you're a healthcare worker, you can be punished with jail time. What's happening? You are being compelled to bow down before the golden image on the plains of Shinar at the threat of being thrown into the fiery furnace, at least of your career or of your personal safety or of your financial or of your legal safety. It's not enough to accept. It's not enough to agree. It's not enough to live and let live. You must adulate, bow down, and worship before this altar. Christians around the world, according to the Britain's Foreign Secretary, their study showed that 80% of the worldwide deaths due to religious persecution now are happening to Christians. Not Muslims, not Buddhists, not Hindus. And this is a football player from Australia. This is very near and dear to me. This guy is of a caliber of football hero that only comes along once or twice in a lifetime. I mean, he is literally that good. And he's also a convicted Christian that believes, stands for his beliefs. You're going to see the media bias here, where they will call out one thing that he writes and use that as the pretext for destroying his entire career.
The career of one of Australia's most exciting rugby union players, Israel Folau, is all but over.
Yesterday afternoon on Instagram, the Wallabies star told homosexuals that hell awaits you, along
these?
With people who are drunks, atheists and more, and urged that they repent. Over on Twitter, Folau shared a story about Tasmania making gender optional on birth certificates, with remarks including that the devil has blinded people.
Israel, through his actions, left us with no choice but to pursue the course of action resulting in today's outcome.
Again, legal precedence has been set now several times that if your school determines that your child has transgender tendencies, they put them onto the track for gender reassignment, giving them hormone therapy. If you don't agree with that as a parent, you are considered to be creating a hostile environment for the child that is unsafe, and Child Protective Services will remove your child from your family custody because you've created such a poisonous atmosphere. This is the country we live in now. Hello. And the video I'm about to show you is from this gentleman, was the editor-in-chief for Psychology Today. He's a lifelong Democrat, and you're going to see what he has to say about Silicon Valley bias in front of the Senate.
In 1961, Eisenhower warned about the possible rise of a technological elite that would control public policy without people's awareness.
We must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
That elite now exists, and you must determine where we go from here. We've shown in our experiments that just by manipulating search suggestions, those phrases that are flashed at you when you're typing in a search term, we can turn a 50-50 split among undecided voters into a 90-10 split, with no one having the slightest idea that they have been manipulated. And what I'm telling you is, we have shown that using this technique, we can turn a 50-50 split among undecided voters into a 90-10 split, with no one having the slightest idea they have been manipulated. We have reason to believe that Google is knowingly, deliberately, strategically manipulating people's thinking and behavior from the very first character people type into the search box.
Okay, I'm going to give you permission to do something on your smartphone in the middle of my presentation right now. Crack open your Google, go straight to Google, and I want you to just type into the search bar, and you'll see as you're typing, men can. What's the first thing you see? Do you think that there is some subtle bias there, perhaps? How about you type, how do I vote in the... Okay? Are we seeing any bias here at all? You should be horrified. As citizens of a country which is supposed to be a democratic country, even if you identify as a Democrat and you're seeing this bias happening to the party that you favour, you should still be horrified that democracy is under attack. So the summary is, essentially, the first war in heaven was primarily a war of information and influence. So God was accused of being a fascist when Lucifer was the spiritual father of the principles of fascism himself. So some things, they just don't change, do they? So fascist, and when I say quasi-religious forces, what you're seeing is you're seeing a moral force which is wanting to impose their morality, which is essentially a religion, upon this entire nation. So you're seeing the destruction of the separation in church of state. It's masquerading as pop culture, but it's really a church. And they've established corrupt laws, they're dominating the messaging in the mainstream media and also on social media, and attempting to silence dissent through censorship and intimidation. So Christians are being compelled by politicized agendas to ratify perversity. If you're in business as a young professional, you're probably going to have to pay for and provide gender reassignment surgery benefits in the insurance that you offer. So we must be aware that there's forces of evil in the spiritual realm that we're fighting against. And remember, our allegiance is not to this world. Our allegiance is to the God in heaven. And allegiance, it involves risk. It involves time. It involves your reputation. It involves your money. So just to understand that it takes more than being passive. So what you don't want to do is to be angry, combative, and become treacherous. Don't personally attack unbelievers. Understand that all people are God's children too, and they must be treated with respect, with Christian love and respect, even if they don't agree with you. Don't get into legal scraps in the workplace if you can avoid it. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't shrink from resisting evil and speaking the truth in love to a dying world. What you can do, stand up for and live your Christian principles with integrity. And understand, this is a war we didn't ask for. So it's been taken to us. But stand against tyranny and fascism. Don't bow down to Babylon. Proclaim the gospel and the redemption of sin, but do it in love. Never back down. Never apologize. Don't be ashamed or bullied. You look at the other communities that we're up against, pride is their number one thing which they command. So put your time, money, and effort. You know, don't just go, gee, that's too bad. Let's do something about it. Put your time, your money, into supporting family and Christian values, into fighting back against the murder of innocent people, and to get involved with your lawmakers to change laws. So some final words of wisdom. You know, Jesus says, suppose anyone is ashamed of me and my words among these adulterous and sinful people, then the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when it comes to his Father's glory with the holy angels. James says, so obey God, stand up to the devil, and he will run away from you. Come near to God, and he may come near to you. Wash your hands, your sinners. Make your hearts pure, you who can't make up your minds. Well, if you haven't made up your mind today, now's the time. What do you stand for? What is worth fighting for? And essentially, you know, I want to preach that I'm not ashamed of the good news, that it's God's power to save everyone who believes. It's meant first for the Jews, but it's meant for everyone. And Christ's method alone was giving true success in reaching the people was by mingling with people, showing that he desired their good, and he showed true sympathy for them. He ministered their needs, and he won their confidence, he won their trust. Trust is so important to you. Then he said to them, follow me. Thank you.
This media was produced by Audioverse for ASI, Adventist Layman's Services and Industries. If you would like to learn more about ASI, please visit www.asiministries.org. Or if you would like to listen to more free online sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.